I'm afraid many people today who were not alive in the 50s have a very vague idea of what the 50s were like. Because we were living in what Eisenhower himself called the beginning of a military-industrial state, except he left off one word, military-industrial corporatist state, a state of corporations that were feeding the military-industrial complex. People on the streets, if they were of any position, were white men wearing gray suits and they had crew cuts. People lived in tract houses and drove cars that we think of as looking quaint or as looking like Americana today, the little Buicks with the ring on the front with a little arrow going through it, which is somewhat symbolic of the times, maybe, the beginning of some kind of missile consciousness. And we were beginning to build our nuclear weapon arsenal out of control. And young men were looked upon as cannon fodder to be sent to the Korean War and to kill Asians for the rights of American property or to stop some incredible domino theory. It was a time of intense psychic pain because of the alienation and the depolarization into two groups that was taking place. Those who still wished to maintain their feelings against the growing one-dimensionality and the majority of people at that time who had bought the whole thing as they saw it presented to them in television, the American dream. And we were very poor. As young poets, we were not privileged in any way.
That's Michael McClure discussing the 50s as an introduction to this. Allen Ginsberg's poem, Howl, is now 50 years old. It was published 50 years ago in 1956. The first reading, public reading, was done October 6, 1955 at the Six Gallery in San Francisco, though Allen only read from portions of the poem, not the entire poem. He read the whole poem for the first time on March 18, 1956 at the Town Hall in Berkeley. And it was recorded, very lo-fi, but it was recorded. It has never been broadcast, and I am about to premiere the first broadcast of Allen Ginsberg's Howl, recorded on that March 18th. Not the best recording. I'd give it about a C, maybe a C+. But it still becomes profound after a while because it's a great poem. And I want to stress the exuberance and the irony and the humor in the piece. This is, apparently it's supposed to be illegal. I'm not supposed to broadcast this, but what the hell? That's what Kill Radio is here for, to provide the community voices that you can't hear. And, very, very few radio stations have played the entire poem, you know, without ducking the FCC or something. So, with no further ado, here is the recording. Cobbed together from three different recordings made that night, apparently. And thanks to the estate of Allen Ginsberg for this. I'm so glad it's here. And thanks to Kill Radio, and thank you for listening to it. Allen is introduced. He reads the introduction to the poem and then the poem itself. It's about a half an hour long. Enjoy. Howl.
Now, for better and worse, the generally considered to be pièce de résistance. We'll resist. Needs no introduction. Right. Mr. Allen Now, with all this misery and unhappiness in the world, read something nice.
Close that, dim that, and raise up light in there so I can see?
Yeah.
I'll start off by reading a book which Burling Geddie is going to publish called Howl for Carl Saltman. I won't put up. No, cut out all the bullshit now. No, I would prefer to read without the. Without sound effects and without static. Without hip static. I have a dedicatory page to read also. Dedicatory page to Jack Kerouac, new Buddha of American prose, who spit forth intelligence into 11 books written in half the number of years, 1951 to 1956. On the Road, Visions of Neil, Dr. Sachs, Springtime Mary, The Subterraneans, San Francisco Blues, Some of the Dharma, Book of Dreams, Wake Up, Mexico City Blues, Visions of Girard, creating himself a spontaneous bop prosody in original classic literature. Several phrases and the title of Howl are taken from him. To William Seward Burroughs, author of Naked Lunch, an endless novel which will drive everybody mad. To Neil Cassidy, author of The First Third, an autobiography, 1949, which enlightened Buddha. All these books are published in heaven. And to Lucian Carr, recently promoted to Night Bureau Manager of New York United Press. Howl for Carl Solomon. One. I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn, looking for an angry fix. Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of night, who poverty and tatters and hollow-eyed and high sat up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats floating across the tops of cities contemplating jazz, who bared their brains to heaven under the L and saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs illuminated, who passed through universities with radiant, cool eyes, hallucinating Arkansas and Blake-like tragedy among the scholars of war, who were expelled from the academies for crazy and publishing obscene odes on the windows of the skull, who cowered in unshaven rooms in underwear, burning their money in wastebaskets and listening to the terror through the wall, who got bustered in their pubic beards returning through Laredo with a belt of marijuana for New York, who ate fire in paint hotels or drank turpentine in Paradise Alley, death, or purgatoried their torsos night after night with dreams, with drugs, with waking nightmares, alcohol and cock and endless brawls, incomparable blind streaks of shuddering cloud and lightning in the mind, leaping toward poles of Canada and Patterson, illuminating all the motionless world of time between, peyote solidities of walls, backyard green tree cemetery dawns, wine drunkenness over the rooftop, storefront burrows of T-head joyride, neon blinking traffic light, sun and moon and tree vibrations in the roaring winter dusks of Brooklyn, ash can rantings and kind king light of mine, who chained themselves to subways for the endless ride from Battery to Holy Bronx on Benzedrine until the noise of wheels and children brought them down, shuddering, mouth racked and battered, bleak of drain, all drained of brilliance in the drear light of zoo, who sank all night in submarine light of Bickford's, floated out and sat through the stale beer afternoon in desolate Fugazi's, listening to the crack of doom on the hydrogen jukebox, who talked continuously 70 hours from park to pad to bar to Bellevue to museum to the Brooklyn Bridge, a lost battalion of platonic conversationalists jumping down the stoops, off fire escapes, off windowsills, off Empire State, out of the moon, yakety-yacking, screaming, vomiting, whispering, anecdotes and facts and memories and eyeball kicks and shocks of hospitals and jails and wars. Whole intellects disgorged in total recall for 7 days and nights with brilliant eyes. Meat for the synagogue cast on the pavement. Who vanished into nowhere, then New Jersey, leaving a trail of ambiguous picture postcards of Atlantic City Hall, suffering eastern sweats and Tangerian bone grindings and migraines of China under junk withdrawal in Newark's bleak furnished room, who wandered around and around in the railroad yard wondering where to go and went, leaving no broken heart, who lit cigarettes in boxcars, 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 racketing through snow toward lonesome farms in Grandfather Night, who studied Plotinus, St. John of the Cross, telepathy, and Bob Kabbalah because the cosmos instinctively vibrated at their feet in Kansas, who loaned it through the streets of Idaho, seeking visionary Indian angels who were visionary Indian angels, who thought they were only mad when Baltimore gleamed in supernatural ecstasy, who jumped in limousines with a Chinaman of Oklahoma on the impulse of winter midnight, streetlight, small town rain, who lounged hungry and lonesome through Houston seeking jazz or sex or soup and followed the brilliant Spaniard to converse about America and eternity, a hopeless task, and so took ship to Africa, who disappeared into the volcanoes of Mexico, leaving behind nothing but the shadow of dungarees and the lava and ash of poetry scattered in fireplace Chicago, who reappeared on the West Coast investigating the FBI, in beards and shorts with big pacifist eyes, sexy in their dark skin, passing out incomprehensible leaflets. Who burned cigarette holes in their arms, protesting the narcotic tobacco haze of capitalism, who distributed super communist pamphlets in Union Square, weeping and undressing, while the sirens of Los Alamos wailed them down and wailed down Wall, and the Staten Island Ferry also wailed, and Bird was wailing the most at Birdland. Who broke down crying in white gymnasiums, naked and trembling before the machinery of other skeletons, who bit detectives in the neck and shrieked with delight in police cars for committing no crime but their own wild cooking, pederasty, and intoxication, who howled on their knees in the subway and were dragged off the roof waving genitals and manuscripts, who let themselves be fucked in the ass by saintly motorcyclists, yes, and screamed with joy, who blew and were blown by those human seraphim, the sailors, caresses of Atlantic and Caribbean love, who bawled in the morning and the evening in rose gardens and the grass of public parks and cemeteries, scattering their semen freely to whoever, come who may, who hiccuped endlessly trying to giggle but wound up with a sob behind a partition in a Turkish bath when the blonde and naked angel came to pierce them with a sword, who lost their love boys to the three old shrews of fate, the one-eyed shrew of the heterosexual dollar, the one-eyed shrew that winks out of the womb, and the one-eyed shrew that does nothing but sit on her ass and snip the intellectual golden threads of the grass in the loom. Who copulated ecstatic and insatiate with a bottle of beer, a sweetheart, a package of cigarettes, a candle, and fell off the bed and continued along the floor and down the hall, and ended fainting on the wall with a vision of ultimate cunt and cum illuminating the last jism of consciousness, who sweetened the snatches of a million girls trembling in the sunset, and were red-eyed in the morning, but prepared to sweeten the snatch of the sunrise. flashing buttocks under barns and naked in the lake, who went out whoring through Colorado and myriad stolen night cars, NC, secret hero of these poems, coxman and Adonis of Denver, joy to the memory of his innumerable lays of girls in empty lots and diner backyards, movie houses, rickety rows on mountaintops, in caves, or with gorged waitresses in familiar roadside, lonely petticoat upliftings, and especially secret gas station solipsisms of John's and hometown alleys, too, who faded out in vast sordid movies, were shifted in dreams, woke on a sudden Manhattan, picked themselves up out of basements hung over with heartless tokay and horrors of Third Avenue iron dreams, and stumbled to unemployment offices, who walked all night with their shoes full of blood on the snowbank dock, waiting for a door in the East River to open to a room full of steam heat and opium, who created great suicidal dramas on the apartment cliff banks of the Hudson under the wartime blue floodlight of the moon, and their heads shall be crowned with laurel in oblivion, who ate the lamb stew of the imagination, or digested the crab at the muddy bottom of the rivers of Bowery, who wept at the romance of the streets with their push carts full of onions and bad music, who sat in boxes breathing in the darkness under the bridge and rose up to build harpsichords in their loft, who crossed on the sixth floor of Harlem under the tubercular sky surrounded by orange crates of theology, who scribbled all night rocking and rolling over lofty incantations which in the yellow morning were stanzas of gibberish, who cooked rotten animals, long heart, feet, tail, borscht, and tortillas, dreaming of the pure vegetable kingdom, who plunged themselves under meat trucks looking for an egg, who threw their watches off the roof to cast their ballot for eternity outside of time, and alarm clocks fell on their heads every day for the next decade, who cut their wrists three times successively, unsuccessfully, gave up and were forced to open antique stores where they thought they were growing old and cried, who were burned alive in their innocent flannel suits on Madison Avenue amid blasts of leaden verse and the tanked-up clatter of the iron regiments of fashion and the nitroglycerin shrieks of the fairies of advertising and the mustard gas of sinister intelligent editors, or were run down by the drunken taxicabs of absolute reality, who jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge. This actually happened. And walked away unknown and forgotten into the ghostly days of Chinatown soup alleyways and fire trucks. Not even one free beer. Who sang out of their windows in despair, fell out of the subway window, jumped in the filthy Passaic, leaped on Negroes, cried all over the street, danced on broken wine glasses barefoot, smashed phonograph records of nostalgic European 1930s German jazz, finished the whiskey, and threw up groaning into the bloody toilet, moans in their ears and the blast of colossal steam whistles, who barreled down the highways of the past, journeying to each other's hot rod Golgotha jail solitude watch or Birmingham jazz incarnation, who drove cross-country 72 hours to find out if I had a vision, or you had a vision, or he had a vision to find out eternity, who journeyed to Denver, who died in Denver, who came back to Denver and waited in vain, who watched over Denver and brooded and loaned in Denver and finally went away to find out the time, and now Denver is lonesome for her heroes, who fell on their knees in hopeless cathedrals praying for each other's salvation and light and breath until the soul illuminated its hair for a second, who crashed their minds in jail waiting for impossible criminals with golden heads and the charm of reality in their hearts who sang sweet blues to Alcatraz, who retired to Mexico to cultivate a habit or Rocky Mount to tender Buddha, or Tangiers to boys, or Southern Pacific to the black locomotive, or Harvard to Narcissus, to Woodlawn, to the daisy chain, or grave, who demanded sanity trials accusing the radio of hypnotism and were left with their insanity and their hands and a hung jury, who threw potato salad at CCNY lecturers on Dadaism, and subsequently presented themselves on the granite steps of the madhouse with shaven heads and harlequin speech of suicide demanding instantaneous lobotomy, and who were given instead the concrete void of insulin, metrosol, electricity, hydrotherapy, psychotherapy, occupational therapy, ping pong, and amnesia, who in humorless protest overturned only one symbolic ping pong table, resting briefly in catatonia, returning years later truly bald, except for a wig of blood and fingers and tears, to the visible madman doom of the wards of the mad towns of the East. Pilgrim states, Rocklands and Greystones, fetid halls, bickering with the echoes of the soul, rocking and rolling in the midnight, solitude, bench, dormant realms of love, dream of life, a nightmare, bodies turned to stone as heavy as the moon, with mother finally fucked, and the last fantastic book flung out of the tenement window, and the last door closed at 4 a.m., and the last telephone slammed at the wall in reply, and the last furnished room emptied down to the last piece of mental furniture, a yellow paper rose twisted on a wire hanger in the closet, and even that imaginary, nothing but a hopeful little bit of hallucination. Ah, Carl, While you are not safe, I am not safe. And now you're really in the total animal soup of time. And who therefore ran through the icy streets obsessed with a sudden flash of the alchemy of the use of the ellipse, the catalog, the meter, and the vibrating plane. Who dreamt and made incarnate gaps in time and space through images juxtaposed and trapped the archangel of the soul between two visual images and joined the elemental verbs and set the noun and dash of consciousness together, jumping with sensation of pater omnipotens aeterno deus, to recreate the syntax and structure of poor human prose and stand before you, speechless and intelligent and shaking with shame, rejected, yet confessing out the soul to conform to the rhythm of thought in his naked and endless head, the madman, bum, and angel, beat in time, unknown, yet putting down what might be left the same in time come after death, and rose reincarnate in the clothes of ghostly jazz and the gold horn shadow of the band, and blew the suffering of America's naked mind for love into an ailey, ailey, lama, lama, sabachthani saxophone cry that shivered the cities down to the last radio with the absolute heart of the poem of life butchered out of their own bodies, good to eat 1,000 years. What sphinx of cement and aluminum bashed open their skulls and ate up their brains and imagination? Moloch, solitude, filth, ugliness, ash cans and unobtainable dollars, garbage heap of eyebrows and brains, children screaming under the stairways, boys sobbing in armies, old men weeping in the park. Moloch, Moloch, nightmare of Moloch, Moloch, the loveless, mental Moloch, Moloch, the heavy judger of men. Moloch, the incomprehensible prison. Moloch, the crossbone soulless jailhouse and congress of sorrows. Moloch, whose buildings are judgment. Moloch, the vast stone of war. Moloch, the stunned government. Moloch, whose mind is pure machinery. Moloch, whose blood is running money. Moloch, whose fingers are 10 armies. Moloch, whose breast is a cannibal dynamo. Moloch, whose ear is a smoking tomb. Moloch, whose eyes are 1,000 blind windows. Moloch, whose skyscrapers stand in the long streets like endless Jehovah's. Moloch, whose factories dream and croak in the fog. Moloch, whose smokestacks and antennae crown the cities. Moloch, whose love is endless oil and stone. Moloch, whose soul is electricity and banks. Moloch, whose poverty is a specter of genius. Moloch, whose fate is a cloud of sexless hydrogen. Moloch, whose name is a mine. Moloch, in whom I sit lonely. Moloch, in whom I dream angels. Crazy in Moloch. Cocksucker in Moloch. Black love and manless in Moloch. Moloch, who entered my soul early. Moloch, in whom I am a consciousness without a body. Moloch who burns down the love of the world. Moloch whom I abandoned. Woke up in Moloch. Life streaming out of the sky. Moloch, Moloch, robot apartment, invisible suburb, skeleton treasury, demonic mill, blind capital, ghostly bureaucracies, spectral nations, invincible madhouses, granite cocks, monstrous bombs. They broke their backs lifting Moloch to heaven. Pavements, trees, radios, tons, lifting the city to heaven which exists and is everywhere about us. Visions, omens, hallucinations, miracles, ecstasies, gone down the American River. Dreams, adoration, illumination, religion, the whole boatload of sensitive bullshit. Breakthroughs over the river, flips and crucifixions gone down the flood, highs, epiphanies, despairs, 10 years animal screams and suicides, mind, new love, down on the rocks of time. Real holy laughter in the river. They saw it all. The wild eyes, the holy yells. They bade farewell. They jumped off the roof to solitude, waving, carrying flowers, down to the river, into the street. Carl Solomon. I'm with you in Rockland where you're madder than I am. I'm with you in Rockland where you must feel very strange. I'm with you in Rockland where you imitate the shade of my mother. I'm with you in Rockland where you've murdered your 12 secretaries. I'm with you in Rockland where you laugh at this invisible humor. I'm with you in Rockland where we are great writers on the same dreadful typewriter. I'm with you in Rockland where your condition has become serious and is reported on the radio. I'm with you in Rockland where the faculties of the skull no longer admit the worms of the senses. I'm with you in Rockland where you drink the tea of the breaths of the spinsters of Utica. I'm with you in Rockland where you pun on the bodies of your nurses, the harpies of the Bronx. I'm with you in Rockland where you scream in a straitjacket that you're losing the game of the actual ping pong of the abyss. I'm with you in Rockland where you bang on the catatonic piano. The soul is innocent and immortal. It should never die ungodly in an armed madhouse. I'm with you in Rockland where 50 more shocks will never return your soul to its body again from its pilgrimage to a cross in the void. I'm with you in Rockland where you accuse your doctors of insanity and plot the Hebrew socialist rebellion against the fascist national Golgotha. I'm with you in Rockland where you will split the heavens of Long Island and resurrect your living human Jesus from the superhuman tomb. I'm with you in Rockland where there are 35,000 mad comrades all together singing the final stanzas of the Internationale. I'm with you in Rockland where we hug and kiss the United States under our bedsheets, the United States that coughs all night and won't let us sleep. I'm with you in Rockland, where we wake up electrified out of the coma by our own souls, airplanes roaring over the roof. They've come to drop angelic bombs. The hospital illuminates itself. Imaginary walls collapse. Oh, skinny legions, run outside. Oh, starry-spangled shock of mercy. The eternal war is here. Oh, victory! Forget your underwear. We're free. I'm in with you in Rockland. In my dreams, you walk dripping from a sea journey on the highway across America in tears to the door of my cottage in the western night.
And there it is. 50 years old now, the poem Howl, read by Allen Ginsberg, complete for the first time at Town Hall in Berkeley on March 18th, 1956. And you're listening to The Chill Room here on Kill Radio.